In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for Misericordias Domini, the Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Thus far the text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord speaks the words, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Behold, our Lord has taken it again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. Our Lord teaches us the Lord's Prayer. As we pray, lead us not into temptation, we learn, as Father Luther quotes Hebrews, God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. So it comes down to this, dear ones in Christ. To whose voice do you listen? There are three voices in particular that I would warn you against, that your catechisms would warn you against. The first is the voice of the devil. We live in a world that is skeptical, albeit somewhat inconsistently, of the existence of any sort of a spiritual world that we cannot perceive with our eyes. A great many people don't believe in God. Of those who do, even less believe in angels. And of those who believe in angels, still yet less believe in the existence of actual demons. The scriptures are clear on all of these matters. So going straight for that last one, dear ones in Christ, there are demons. There are real fallen spirits which from the moment one of them spoke by way of a snake in the Garden of Eden down to this very day labor to ruin the salvation of as many as possible. It is in their nature, having rebelled against God, to do everything they can to thwart the gracious and merciful plans of God toward us. And so the devil would tempt you to believe that there is no God, there is no afterlife. In fact, the devil would tempt you to believe that there is no devil. Religion is the opiate of the masses. And you're a fool if you don't grab all you can for as long as you can, because it's all over so fast. And then, nothing. So do it now. And of course, don't concern yourself over much about questions of morality or who you step on. Look out for number one, because no one else will. Such is the nature of the voice of the devil, the first voice against which I warn you. Against that particular voice, the voice of Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus would deliver you from the modern mythology of believing that your life is essentially an accident, both aimless and pointless. As the Lord said long ago through the prophet Isaiah, why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Thus far the prophet. Which very much brings me to the second voice I would warn you against heeding. The voice of the world. Of course, the world hardly speaks with one united, harmonious voice. It comes closer to being a cacophony of voices. But in our world particularly, the overwhelming voice that I hear is the voice of dissatisfaction. It is born of an economy that is based on inducing you to believe that you are not happy, that you cannot possibly be happy, and you will never be happy unless you buy this car, buy that TV, wear some specific brand name of clothing. And that's exactly what the world's commercial advertising does. Look how totally hot these two models look wearing our line of clothing. Don't you wish you were wearing our line of clothing too? Somehow, at least for me, I know in the back of my mind that even if I am wearing that silk shirt produced in Paris by some guy whose name I cannot begin to pronounce, it's still not going to make me look like the model on the TV. But the whole advertising industry is about creating the fantasy in our minds that we could. And they have a curious term for us in this regard. They call us consumers. There's a consumer confidence index. We've heard it so much that many of you have probably never even thought to cross-examine that term. Do so right now. They call you a consumer. What is that? It is a unit of consumption. This is what the voice of the world has lulled you into believing is a perfectly acceptable way to think of yourself. You are a unit of consumption. The more each unit consumes, the more that has to be produced, And the more people then have jobs so that they can take their paychecks and consume more. So that you keep on consuming in the midst of this current pandemic under which the church as well as everybody else labors, our government has generously chosen to bestow on many of us a gift of $1,200 of, well, our own tax dollars in the hope that the pandemic won't completely derail your consumption because you, the consumer, consuming is what this is all based on. Dear ones in Christ, how dehumanizing to be thought of, or worst yet, to think of yourself as nothing but a unit of consumption. Shut off the tube. Take the earpiece out of your ear and hear the voice of Christ. You are so much more than that. Our Lord's apostle, St. Peter, tells us, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You are more than a unit of consumption, and you have a far greater purpose than simply to consume so others can have jobs so that they can consume. You are chosen of God, and your purpose is to proclaim His praises, to confess the salvation that you have in Christ Jesus. You know, when we call ourselves confessional Lutherans, there's more to that confessional word than just we're the Lutherans that are super serious about it. Confessing isn't an attitude, it's an action. It is saying back to God what He has given you to say, and saying it so that others can hear us saying it. And by the grace of God, those others can learn to say it too. You are a sinner, yes, but redeemed through faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus. You are the redeemed of the Lord, loved by God, heirs of heaven. So repent of this worldly notion of being some sort of mindless automaton consuming unit. Listen to the voice of Jesus before God. Know who and what you really are. Repent of all your dissatisfaction about how much you wish you could consume, but you can't afford to. Rather, hear the voice of Jesus and live life to the full. Live it satisfied that you really are the redeemed, precious, chosen, loved children of God for the sake of Christ Jesus. There is one last voice that I, in your catechism, would warn you against hearkening to. And that voice is your own. Whether it's the deductions of your reason or the impulses of your emotions, you are fallen. Your reason and your feelings can be wrong. I think a lot of even Christian people mistakenly do this. They listen to the devil. They listen to the world. And they listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Then they evaluate each of them and see which parts make sense to them. If we do that, that puts you, rather than the Lord, in the driver's seat. And of course, being at once both saint and sinner, your reasoning is also at once this conflicted, partly holy, partly wicked thinking. So repent of trusting your own judgments and prejudices. And oh, do repent of this ever so popular mollycoddling of your own precious feelings, as though they were some sort of an idol that all must respectfully worship. Now that may sound harsh, but what a gift. Half the time you think of yourself as bad, ugly, weak, a failure, all of those negative things. And the devil reinforces those thoughts. And the other half of the time you think of yourself as brilliant, beautiful, strong, a total success. You know, all of those delusional things. The voice of Jesus speaks the truth. You are a sinner. Repent. You are redeemed by Christ's precious blood. Believe. And you have a holy purpose in this world. So live it out until you receive the reward of a good and faithful servant in the life of the world to come. Jesus says, I am known by my own. We know Jesus. We know His voice. For the same reason that I would know the voices of a lot of my congregation members when they call, I've heard some of your voices so many times that over the phone I would know who was calling even if I didn't have caller ID, and even if you didn't identify yourself, I'd know. It should be that way with us and our Lord too. We know His voice because we have heard it so much. Dear ones in Christ, hear your Lord's voice. Hear it a lot. Know it so well that when someone speaks something that is not of the Lord, you know instantly that that's not His voice. That's the devil, or the world, or your own sinful flesh talking. And when that happens, turn a deaf ear and listen once again to the honest law and gospel, repentance and forgiveness of sins, voice of Jesus. Thus restored again by grace through faith, and having clean hearts created within you, and a right spirit renewed within you. Jesus says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. How will those other sheep hear his voice? They will hear it through our mouths. Or they'll hear nonsense through our mouths. We all speak plenty of that, I'm sure. But dear ones in Christ, this goes back to the voice of Jesus, assuring you that your life is not aimless, that it truly does have a purpose. Declare his praises. Let his voice be heard through your mouth by means of his words spoken by way of our mouths. He will cause others to come to him as well. He says, them also must I bring. He doesn't say, well, I'll try to bring them. So say my Jesus stuff and we'll just see how it works out. No, those whom he must bring, he will bring. Do not think that when you speak the word of the Lord, that is somehow a weak or anemic thing. The same word which your ears have heard, the same word that has created and sustained saving faith in your hearts, God can use your mouths to speak that same word into the ears of others and thereby create and sustain saving faith in their hearts. Dear ones in Christ, repent of your faithless words, your evil words, your words which you know full well will never turn anyone to the Lord. And instead, speak faithful words, words of repentance and mercy and the forgiveness of sins and the eternal life through faith in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ that we have and look forward to enjoying forever. And as you speak those words, go ahead and listen to them too. For those words continue also to be for your own ears. You too have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life for the sake of the holy life, the atoning death, and the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.